second disclaimer, and this is like going to sound, I think it's going to, I'm front loading it to sound way worse than it is. So you're going to brace yourself and be like, oh, that wasn't that bad. But this isn't a message of correction, but it's a message of invitation and promise. Okay. And I'm not talking politics, but some of what I've been challenged with in the Lord is through the political aspect of what's going on in the world right now. And so he's speaking to me about my response, and he's showing me areas that I've wavered at times, and giving me conviction to stand strong, but giving me a greater measure in my failure on the back end of it. And I want to discuss that with you guys, and I want to, you know, I don't think I'm the only one. And so I just kind of want to extend this more as like a testimony of what I've been brought through in this season, and maybe encourage you guys. And Chad's word is right on line. And one thing I felt, it never ceases to amaze me what God does on Sundays here. But you don't fully know unless you're here from 9 till the end. And so our pre-service prayer is open to anybody who wants to come, and that's when God starts the service. And I would just like to invite everybody who has the time or the ability at 9 o'clock, it's open for everyone, and that's when he starts speaking about, he's been speaking all week, and 9 o'clock is when he starts using, like, we all start praying what's been in our hearts, and then it's just like, by the end of it, it's like such an overflow of what God's been trying to say all week, and it just is all tied together, and it's very humbling for me to hear the confirmations of words like what Chad gave and songs that Braden picks, and it's never coincidental. So with all that being said, I'll jump in. I'm going to start in Isaiah 7, and I'm going to read for a bit, and I'm going to point a few things out, and I'm going to talk to you about what I've been going through, and I'm going to tie all this back together through a lot of prophetic words that I've heard in this last year in 2020, and kind of tie it all back into Isaiah 7, if you will. So during the reign, and this is starting at verse 1, during the reign of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, and the grandson of Uzziah, two kings launched an attack against Jerusalem, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, but they failed to conquer it. Some of the footnotes in the Passion Translation, which is what I'm reading out of, are really all you need sometimes. But I just want to bring to light that the word Rezin means wicked pleasure, and Pekah means open eye seeing or human reasoning. And I feel like a big part of what we're battling in the world right now is wicked pleasures and human reasoning. And you can kind of look at that, and, you know, just knowing everything that's going on in the world, we're battling wicked pleasure and human reasoning, and there's, I think there's a big umbrella that those two things fall under, but I think that's what we're fighting in large part. So when the royal court was told that Syria, and this is the house of David, when the royal court was told that Syria had formed an alliance with the northern kingdom of Israel, the heart of King Ahaz and all the people trembled with fear, like trees swaying in the wind. Then Yahweh spoke to Isaiah and said, "Go and meet with King Ahaz. You'll find him on the road to the washerman's field at the end of the aqueduct, where it empties into the upper pool. Take with you your son, whom you named, a remnant shall return." That's the translation, just so everybody's aware. If you're seeing the actual name, the actual name means a remnant will return. Give this message. Give him this message. Stay calm, be quiet, and guard your heart. Don't panic or be discouraged over these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the rage of Rezin and Aram, the sons of Ramallah. Syria has plotted with the northern kingdom of Israel and the sons of Ramallah to come against you. They are saying, we will attack Judah and cut off Jerusalem. We will terrorize and conquer it for ourselves and install the son of Tabeel as king. So one key note about the significance of the aqueduct is that that was the water supply coming into the city, and he was probably looking at it as a vulnerability. And so Isaiah met him there, but in the footnotes again, it says Ahaz is likely inspecting the city's vulnerability of water supply. It is good to be vulnerable and on the road to being purified and made ready for God to use, on the road to the washerman's field. The heavenly washerman wants to cleanse our hearts of unbelief, hiding in false belief systems to close our hearts from the true work of the Spirit. God wants to make you an aqueduct or a channel of the upper heavenly pool. So there's some symbolism there that's really important. And then also what I find interesting before we move on is he called them smoldering stubs of firewood. They no longer have fire burning within them. They're smoldering. They're all but burn up. So Isaiah continues and he says, now hear what the Lord Yahweh says. They will not succeed. It will never happen. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. 65 years from now, the northern kingdom of Israel will be shattered with nothing left. The head of the northern kingdom of Israel is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Ramaliah. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not be able to stand at all. Which, faith is what's been tested in my life in this last season. I thought I had faith. I thought my faith was good. God's showing me a greater measure of faith than I thought was imaginable. He goes on to say, Again, Lord Yahweh spoke to Ahaz, go ahead. Ask for a sign from Yahweh, your God. Ask for something big, so miraculous that only you will know God did it. Ahaz answered, I will not ask. I won't attempt to test the Lord Yahweh. So Isaiah said, pay attention, family of David. It's bad enough to try the patience of a prophet, but even worse when you try the patience of God as well. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will be named God among us. He will eat curdled milk and honey and will know enough to refuse evil and choose good. Yet even before the time comes for him to know good and evil, the lands of the two kings you dread will be deserted. So I'm going to stop there, and you could continue to read it, and it kind of changes courses. And if you read in 2 Samuel about Ahaz, he partnered with Syria and kind of messed some things up. He didn't trust God fully in God's word, and there were some problems that ended up. I think that second half kind of comes into play, but I don't feel like that's what we're seeing in America, so I'm not going to continue. I think that the word stops for us right there. And I found it specifically interesting that it followed with Christmas. so he didn't. To me, when I saw that, I was like, wow. Because I wasn't searching for that scripture, it found me. And I really believe that it speaks, and I'm hoping to convey a lot of what I've seen, and we can tie some of this together. And I would just ask you guys to go home and maybe spend some time in that scripture and see how it applies. But You know, when the election was going on, and I've shared this story, so I'll just share it briefly and get everybody caught up. But when the election was going on and the TV was on and all the different things were flashing, I would say things that were derogatory to what could have been true. I was speaking curses, if you will, over the election as it was going on, paying attention to the media and them calling things early and those numbers changing constantly. I was like, oh, well, we're losing, blah, blah, blah. I'm releasing a word into the atmosphere that gives, you know, some authority. I'm partnering with a lie, right? And my wife lovingly corrected me and said, you know, you're speaking a lot of curses. And that was my first conviction. I was like, you know what? You're right. I can't watch this and not say that after about another 5 minutes. So I turned it off and I did something else. And I said, God's got it, right? That was my response. Then a couple of days later, driving to work, I had a conversation with the Lord and I said, Father, I really don't understand what's going on. Is it possible that all the prophets were wrong? Is it possible that they all got it wrong and that this is not what your will? And he corrected me and he said, Scott, how accurate have these prophets been up until now? And I said, they've been very accurate. They have a lot of words that have come to pass. He said, then why do you have a reason not to believe? Why are you doubting? What is happening that's making you doubt other than that you're just seeing false narratives come across the screen and it's making you doubt? He said, what voice are you going to partner with? Who are you going to decide to believe? The voice of God? And so I had to come to a moment where I had to say, okay, these are prophets who have historically been accurate. I'm going to choose to believe, have faith that this is the word of God and this is what I'm going to partner with. And so through the process, there's been other words. There's currently words going, or, you know, that if we make Trump, and I agree with this, if we make Trump the savior, then we lose. And Stacy's talked about that. What's the posture of our heart and what are we coming? We're not doing this for, you know, a president. We're doing it for the kingdom. So, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is we have a choice in who we believe, for one, and I'm not telling you who to believe. I'm not telling you which prophet to believe. There's prophets on both. I'm saying two different things. There's going to be things in the future that's going to show two different things, a true narrative and a false narrative. You as believers are challenged to test everything. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, don't despise the prophet or the prophecy, but test everything. And you will be held to account to what you choose to believe. You cannot pawn it off on the prophet saying they got it wrong. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And you have to have the discernment. You have to exercise discernment and hear the Holy Spirit and what he says. And if we don't agree on what he's saying, I'm okay with that. Like, but I know that if I was wrong in what I heard, I have to humble myself and I have to repent. Because I answer to God and God alone. And so do you. So there's been this like just consistent churning in me about what faith. You know, we prayed last Thanksgiving, we prayed that this would be a COVID-free zone. And after Thanksgiving, a lot of people experienced symptoms and actually diagnosed with COVID. This is a faith tester. And Stacy did a Facebook Live on the devotional page or the family page talking about this. It is a faith tester. if we get sick and we show signs, does that mean that God's will is different than what, you know, is it derogatory? Does he want us to get sick? No, that's not what we know to be true. And so we have to, even if we don't see it manifesting in our lives currently, we still have to have the resolve and the faith to believe God's word. The reason all this is important is because, you know, we're all asking ourselves, and this is a little bit of just my perspective. We're all asking ourselves, what's going on? You know, we're trying to understand the season that we're in. We're trying to understand that, you know, 2020 doesn't quite look like what we maybe thought it would, our preconceived notions of 2020. And I'm telling you that I personally don't believe that the other side of this election, regardless of who wins or who doesn't win, I think we're in a season of refinement, and refinement comes with some pressure, some heat to it. And so whether or not Donald Trump stays in office and all, I'm going to tell you, I believe the prophets of the nation that said Donald Trump will be president. That's what I'm partnering with. That's what I'm believing for. And I believe that that's going to happen. But through this process, all of the facts coming out and all of this, it's just, these are the things that are like testing my faith. What am I choosing to believe, right? Gabrielle gave a word a few weeks ago about shaking. There is a shaking happening. But as she was giving the word, I got a parallel vision of sifting. Shaking drives sifting. I saw us all in a sifter as if we were sand. And there's a lot of sand falling through. And then at some point when the shaking stops, you know, there would be sand still sitting in the sifter, right? Because that was the last ones remaining. What I think is happening in this shaking, sifting season, there's probably multiple things, but what I'm going to speak about is the faith. I believe that God is shaking and sifting to test our faith, to see who we align ourselves with, to show the world who the remnant is. Does that make sense? That's not to say that if you fall out of the sifter, you're bad or that you're out of the kingdom. But a lot of words that have come by way of prophets is that this next season, this season of revival is coming, and that the remnant, there's going to be a greater measure of signs, wonders, and miracles on the other side of this thing. And there's a lot of people claiming to be the remnant, and I think that when this is all over, we will be able to say without judgment, casting judgment, who's the remnant and who's not. And I think God already knows, but he needs us to know. Does that make sense? So one of the pictures that somebody got at the start of the quarantine, and I've shared this before too, but going into the quarantine, that if you go 9 months out, December is 9 months, and they said we're entering a pregnancy. Some of the interpretation of that word, I think, was inaccurate, but now almost 9 months later, the pregnancy part's not the inaccurate part. It's kind of the interpretation of what that pregnancy would look like. Not everything that was tied to that word came to pass. But the overall word of pregnancy, absolutely, I believe, has come to pass. And now we're coming into the December month, the final trimester. And I think it's interesting. Stacy mentioned it, but the planetary alignments to form the northern, or the Star of David, essentially, is confirmation of that word to me. And what I'm believing is that, one, I think there's a couple of different births, and I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the revelation of what all of the births actually are going to be, but one of them is the rebirth of our nation. I believe that. A lot of people are likening this time period back to 1776, and I think our nation's freedom is going to be rebirthed. We are going to be rebirthed as a nation back to what our forefathers designed and had in mind when they said and stated the Declaration of Independence and wrote the Constitution and everything. And that should fire you guys up, because we've been led astray. There's a few other things that I believed when President Trump got elected in 2016. I believe that it was the beginning of the modern day American Revolution, because we went against the grain and we voted in the unvotable, essentially. And we've been under attack ever since, in my opinion. And we're coming to a precipice of, we need to make a decision and we need to make a stand. Really, the reality of it is that freedom, I believe freedom is coming. I believe truth is coming, and I've said this, I want truth at any cost. That's what I want. Truth at any cost. And I would ask you to think long and hard about what that means, but God can reveal it. And I truly am prepared to sacrifice a whole lot to have truth and to get my country back, because people have been working against us outside of the way we're supposed to function as a nation, the way it was designed. I want it back. I want it back. And I think what you're seeing manifest in America is a lot of people want it back. And I think that if, I'm just going to say it like this, I think that President Trump is going to stay in office one way or the other. And if it's by force to conserve our Constitution, that it's going to come with consequences. And I think that the remnant, the ones still left in the sifter, are going to be called to a higher state of responsibility. God's going to have a greater measure of expectation on them, because even the non-believers are going to be persecuted if that happens. And there's evidence of that already, because politicians are trying to say that they need to mark us, the Trump followers, so that they know who we are. Even when that's on the plan of the Biden administration. The point is that the trials aren't over. Where is your faith? How strong is your faith going to be to say, I'm not wavering any longer? I'm not wavering on COVID. I'm not wavering on the presidency. I'm not wavering on signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe it all to be true, and I'm all in. And if the devil throws something at me that throws a curveball, I'm going to knock it out of the park. Get out of here with that nonsense. I hope I'm making sense, because I got a lot of like blank faces, kind of like, what is, I feel like you're looking at me like, what am I talking about? But yeah, well, that's fair. I'm fired up. I can't jump around and run all over the place, but I'm fired up. And I think we're in an excellent time. We're excellent time to be believers. We're excellent time to be charismatic believers at that, because the promises are signs, wonders, and miracles in greater measure are coming. And we have to fully believe that we can walk with COVID should be the snake, and we should be able to get bit by the snake and not be affected. I'm just asking for everybody to partner with heaven and say, no more. Not even if I get sick. Paul had all kinds of stuff going on in his life, and he always stayed true to his faith and what he believed in, even if it didn't manifest. And so no matter what manifests on earth, because I'm telling you, the devil, every time I get a deeper level of revelation, the devil tries to steal it from me by attacking the very thing that I just came into knowledge with. I just realized something that heaven says about me, and then the devil says no. And then I gotta look at that and be like, you shut your mouth. This is what's true. So this conflict of opposing words, don't let it be a conflict. Pray, seek the Lord, hear his voice, and let him answer it. And then you, with resolve, whichever way he speaks to you, you follow it, and you trust in it, and you pray in it, and you intercede on it. I got to throw this out there, because there's been a campaign in the spiritual realm being waged in America. And if you follow Dutch Sheets, you know that this last week there was an operation called Operation Valkyrie that we have fought in the spiritual realm through prayer, through proclaiming. And so I won't get into all of what Operation Valkyrie was, but on Wednesday morning, wee hours of Wednesday morning, from basically 12 to 3 a.m., every state prayed and declared God's word for 3 minutes. Every state led to 3 a.m. And then there was people in Philadelphia who were at the building with the tower and did it there to close it out. And Valkyrie, so this is funny, actually. So Valkyrie, just look at it in terms of this is the plot to overthrow America in the history of the world. So there's also a German opera, I guess, and the Valkyrie at the end is a robust woman, a fat lady. And so when Valkyrie ended, the Holy Spirit said, Valkyrie has fallen and she will not sing. The fat lady is not going to sing. And no, like these things, God has a sense of humor, because like, I promise you, I believe Dutch Sheets anyways when he says, I didn't know any of that. I did research and figured that out after the fact, but this is what's happening. And it's comical, because to me it just is. But so there was a major victory in the spirit this last week in terms of this thing getting overthrown, and victory is coming. There's prophetic words being released now about Christmas and everything, and one of those was revival. But to me, the greater thing, and I know that you're going to be like, what do you mean greater thing? But the greater thing is the rebirth of our nation. And so I believe something significant is going to happen, whether it's in the seen or the unseen. Something significant is going to happen on December 21st-ish when that star is up there. And so anyways, those are just things to ponder, look into, Dutch Sheets. And the Valkyrie thing, I would encourage you to go and check that out and try to understand a little bit of what I'm talking about. But something, these are just things that God's been showing me, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, and that's okay. But there's a flag, appeal to heaven, right? And I didn't know anything about it, and I just started researching it recently. So this is the other thing. Today, Dutch released this, and I hadn't been listening to anything from anybody forever, and then these things started coming, and I started getting permission from the Lord to listen to them. So it's why I know they're important. But he got a dream sent to him like yesterday or something, and in the dream, the... essentially they ended up in front of the forefathers in this location. And George Washington walked out with an appeal to heaven flag. And he looked at Dutch and he basically said, because you guys are appealing to, it's the flag still works. He said that flag was battered, beaten, bullet holes in it and everything else. George Washington's jacket had bullet holes in it, but he said the flag still works. And I didn't know that this flag was backdated to 1775 or earlier, but it was. And it was, its origins are from a book that was written in 1690. And I just want to read, this was something that that they used to quote back in the day. It was important to them. I just want to read it. This is an excerpt out of the book written by John Locke. And the book is the second treatise. I don't know how to say that. Uneducated. Not really. So the excerpt is, "And where the body of people or any single man is deprived of their right or is under the exercise of power without right and have no appeal on earth, then they have the liberty to appeal to heaven. Whether they judge the cause of sufficient moment and therefore..." And keep in mind, this is a long time, it was 1690, so they talk funny. "And therefore, though the people cannot be judged, so as to have, by the constitution of that society, any superior power to determine and give efficient sentence in the case, yet they have, by a law antecedent and paramount to all positive laws of men, reserved that ultimate determination to themselves, which belongs to all mankind. Where there lies no appeal on earth to judge whether they have just cause to make their appeal to heaven." So no matter what's happening on earth, and this guy is a Brit, and he wrote the constitution of that society, so that we have the right to appeal to heaven. You know, one of the things that I'm going to say, and I'm just going to leave you with this and try and encourage, is that part of the word that says that a lot of the prophets who are saying that if we put Trump first, we lose and yada, yada. The problem with that word is that I know that there are thousands, tens of thousands of Christians who know the importance of Trump but are not putting him first. That's why I know that word is not from God. And I believe that it's being misconstrued because they're not understanding the hearts of the people. They're actually casting judgment on the hearts of the people, assuming they know what's in their heart. But I know that Operation Valkyrie wasn't a farce, and that everybody that was doing it out of the pure love of God himself, because they know that this nation belongs to him, and they're fighting for our nation to be one nation under God, not one nation under Donald Trump. Yep. And that is the point. And regardless what happens, regardless what I believe, regardless what... God is in control. He cares more, just like Stacy said. This isn't a joke. Our nation, our freedom's at stake. But no matter if we become under oppressed ruler or not, I still have my freedom in Jesus, and I still have an appeal to heaven. It's time to get motivated. It's time to get set on fire. That word in that song, "Crush your children until our hearts are aflame. Crush us, God." A lot of what I've interpreted has been prophetic words given to my life and applied to those, like using those words to apply it and how I'm going to respond, but you all each have a unique responsibility in how you respond. You all have a different calling in how you respond in terms of the long game. He needs a remnant, and some of us are going to go into government, and some of us are going to become preachers and teachers and things that we never thought. But God is going to infiltrate our country again with Christians that need to be bold in our faith to not go back into hiding and to trust that no matter what happens, that even a failure, even what looks like a failure from a boy hiding in a hole or a man hiding in a hole, that can be condemned, it can be shot down, and it can be challenged, sparked a revolution in some girls. That's what we need. I believe we need to be able to back up, look from a macro view, from way up high, and see the individual battles raging, and be able to say that loss isn't a loss, it's an exposure. Every so often, you have to retreat to find where the holes in the enemy are. A retreat is not a loss. We have to be able to see where the vulnerabilities of our enemy are. But God already has it all won anyhow. So if you're looking at it from that perspective and you're seeing everything from a bird's eye view, then you know that whatever happens, but it also gives you strategy in where to pray and how to partner in prayer. And this is a huge spiritual war that we're fighting right now. So I just hope, honestly, that through this shaking and through this sifting and through the pressure of what's going on in the world, rather than retreating, your hearts are crushed to set on fire. That's my hope. That's what's happening in me. I have something stirring in me that I can't explain and I don't fully know how to respond to yet. But he'll show me and he'll show you. Now is the time. More than ever, now's the time to go out, proclaim the word of God, to pray, to fast, to seek the Lord. No matter what happens in the election, no matter anything else, no matter if tomorrow we're communists, I don't care. Now is the time. Now is the time. I don't think that's going to happen, but now's the time. I'm saying that because adversity makes us go back in our hole. So, and just one last thing. You know, God always brings me back to James chapter 1 when I'm not understanding. But James writes, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." Find it pure joy. Let's not get caught up in what's going on to the point where we're distraught and lost and confused. Seek the Lord on what voice you're going to believe, and believe it, and move in that direction. And one or the two of us is going to be wrong, and we're going to have to humble ourselves and repent. And that's all there is to it. If you go one way or the other, I just know in the bottom of my heart, God doesn't want me to be lukewarm on this.